This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. What happens to the brain during negotiation conflict? And how to use that knowledge? The neuroscience of conflict, explained in plain language for practitioners. In short, when negotiation conflict flares, your brain switches into threat mode before your conscious mind has a chance to intervene. The result is narrowed thinking, weakened impulse control, and decisions driven by survival instinct rather than strategy. The threat response is physiological, not a personal feeling, and it happens to every person at the table. Understanding the mechanism lets you prepare for it, shorten its grip, and read what is happening inside the other person to manage well. This knowledge becomes one of the sharpest tools you will carry into any difficult negotiation. Definition: negotiation conflict brain refers to the neurological state triggered when a negotiation becomes adversarial. The amygdala activates a threat response, flooding the body with stress hormones, narrowing cognitive function, and temporarily reducing access to rational, strategic thinking. Why negotiation conflict feels like a different conversation entirely. You have been in a negotiation that was going reasonably well, and then something shifted. A word landed wrong, or an offer was dismissed with a tone that felt like contempt. Within seconds, the whole atmosphere changed. What you planned to say left your head. Something sharper came out instead. And afterwards, you sat replaying it, wondering who that person was. Here is the truth of it. That person was your brain in survival mode. Negotiation conflict does not just change the conversation. It changes the biology of the people having it. Most people understand conflict as a clash of interests or personalities. What they do not understand is the machinery underneath, the rapid neurological sequence that hijacks clear thinking before you realize it is happening. That gap in understanding is expensive. It costs deals, damages relationships, and produces agreements nobody is truly satisfied with. What I want to do here is close that gap. Not with theory, but with a clear picture of what is actually happening inside your head during negotiation conflict, and what you can do with that knowledge. The threat response. What fires in your brain when conflict begins? The brain has a structure called the amygdala. Think of it as your alarm system, ancient, fast, and not particularly subtle. Its job is to scan for danger and respond before the reasoning parts of your brain have time to weigh in. In a physical threat, this is useful. In a negotiation, it is frequently the source of your worst moments. When conflict erupts at the table, the amygdala reads the tension as threat. It does not distinguish between a predator and a counterpart who just rejected your proposal in a dismissive tone. The response is the same: cortisol and adrenaline flood the body, heart rate rises, breathing becomes shallow, and blood flow prioritizes the muscles over the prefrontal cortex. That last part matters enormously. The prefrontal cortex is where your strategic thinking lives. It is the seat of impulse control, empathy, long-range planning, and the ability to consider another person's perspective. During an amygdala-driven threat response, access to that region is reduced. You do not lose it entirely, but it dims. This is what researchers who study this area call an amygdala hijack, and in a negotiation, it is the difference between responding and reacting. The cascade happens fast. Within milliseconds, your brain has already begun switching modes before your conscious awareness catches up. You feel it as a tightening in the chest, a heat in the face, a sudden urgency to speak, or a sudden blankness where your words used to be. What this does to your negotiating capacity right now. The practical consequences of this neurological shift are more specific than most people realize. It is not just that you feel stressed. Your entire negotiating toolkit shrinks. Cognitive narrowing is the first casualty. Under threat, attention pulls inward and backward to defending your position, to the perceived insult, to what you should have said. The wider landscape of the negotiation, the underlying interests of the other party, the creative solutions neither of you has named yet, becomes harder to see. You stop negotiating for outcomes and start negotiating for dignity. Listening collapses next. You may appear to be listening, but you're constructing your counterargument while the other person speaks. Real listening, the kind that picks up what someone is not quite saying, requires prefrontal engagement. Under conflict stress, that resource is partially diverted. This matters because the information you miss in those moments is often the most useful. If you want to understand more about how unmet needs sit beneath the surface of conflict, it is worth reading How Unmet Needs Drive Team Conflict and What to Say to Restore Synergy, because the same dynamic operates in negotiation. Impulse control weakens. Words you would not choose in a car moment come faster and feel more justified. Concessions you would never make under normal conditions suddenly seem like relief. Or the opposite, a rigidity sets in, and you hold a position past the point of reason simply because yielding feels like defeat. Both responses trace back to the same route the reasoning brain has been partially sidelined. The other person is in this too. Here's something I learned the hard way, after years of watching negotiations break down and spending too long trying to work out why. When conflict fires, both people enter this state, often at slightly different moments, often with slightly different triggers. The negotiation stops being two rational people working toward an agreement and becomes two nervous systems trying to feel safe. This changes what your job actually is. You are not only managing your own threat response, you are managing the interaction between two of them. A counterpart who suddenly becomes rigid, dismissive, or loud is probably not a difficult person. Their amygdala has fired. Their prefrontal cortex has dimmed. They are not processing the way they were 10 minutes ago, and neither are you. Understanding this makes it harder to take their behavior personally, and easier to respond to what is actually happening. A practical scenario: you are negotiating a contract renewal, and your counterpart suddenly accuses you of bad faith over a clause that was never disputed before. Your first instinct is to defend yourself. That is the threat response talking. But if you recognize that their accusation likely signals their own fear, perhaps about budget pressure or accountability to someone above them, you can pause, breathe, and ask a question instead of launching a defense. That pause is not weakness. It is neuroscience applied. The core framework for staying grounded during tense workplace conversations gives you a structured way to hold yourself steady in exactly these moments. It is worth having a method ready before the pressure arrives. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Why most people do not recognize this is happening to them. The cruel irony of the threat response is that one of the things it impairs is your ability to notice that it is happening. By the time you're deep in the physiological state, your internal narrator has already constructed a story in which the other person is the problem, and your reaction is entirely justified. The biology does not feel like biology. It feels like clarity. I have seen this play out in negotiation after negotiation. The person who escalated will tell you afterwards that they were being rational. They were defending a legitimate point. The other side was unreasonable, and there is always some truth in that account. But the heat, the rigidity, the words chosen, those came from somewhere below the reasoning mind. This is why preparation matters so much more than most people believe. You cannot reliably catch your own hijack in the moment it happens. What you can do is prepare your reset strategy before you sit down. Identify the specific triggers that tend to activate your threat response in a negotiation context: being dismissed, having your credibility questioned, facing a deadline with stakes attached. Then prepare the physical signal you will use to interrupt the cascade: a deliberate breath, a specific phrase that buys you time, a physical gesture that grounds you. For colleagues navigating this in team settings, the DEAL method for diffusing tension between people who refuse to cooperate applies the same principle to a facilitated context. How to use the neurological knowledge practically at the table. Understanding the mechanism is only useful if it changes what you do. Here is how I have seen this knowledge applied well, in my own practice, and in the people I have worked with. Slow the pace before you need to. The threat response accelerates internal experience. Everything feels urgent. Slow, deliberate speech signals safety to both your own nervous system and the other person's. It buys time for the prefrontal cortex to re-engage. Speak slightly slower than feels natural when tension rises. Name what is happening without naming the other person. A phrase like, "I think we have both hit a wall here. Can we take a moment?" does not accuse. It acknowledges the state of the room without assigning blame. This often creates enough space for both nervous systems to step back from the edge. The DEAL method for resolving conflict that fracture team synergy builds this kind of neutral acknowledgement into a repeatable framework. Use questions, not statements, when you feel reactive. Statements during a threat response tend to defend or attack. Questions force the brain to switch from reactive to curious, which is a small but real shift toward prefrontal engagement. What would need to be true for that to work for you? Takes more cognitive effort than that is not acceptable. And the effort is the point. Recognize recovery time. After a full amygdala response, complete physiological recovery takes longer than most people allow. Research on this is clear, but my own observation confirms it. The person who calmed down in the room may still be physiologically elevated for some time after. Agreements made too quickly after a conflict spike often do not hold. If you can, build a natural pause into the process, a break, a summary, a request to revisit a point later. The bridge method for rebuilding working relationships after breakdown addresses what happens when this recovery period is skipped and relationships need to be rebuilt after the fact. Prepare your reset in advance, not in the moment. Before any high-stakes negotiation, spend 5 minutes identifying your 2 or 3 most likely triggers. Then decide exactly what you will do when one fires the breath pattern, the phrase, the physical pause. Practice it until it is automatic, because in the moment, automatic is all you will have access to. The core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction trains this same kind of preset response for defensive moments under pressure. The negotiator who understands their own brain. There is a quality I have noticed in the most effective negotiators I have ever sat across from or worked alongside. They are not the most aggressive. They are not the most charming. They are the ones who are never quite as rattled as the situation seems to demand. Not because they feel nothing, but because they have built the habit of recognizing the beginning of their own threat response and doing something deliberate with it before it runs the table. The negotiation conflict brain is not your enemy. It is a system doing exactly what it was built to do. Your job is not to eliminate it. Your job is to understand it well enough to work with it rather than be ruled by it. Every time you pause before reacting, every time you ask a question instead of launching a defense, every time you give the other person a moment to come back from their own edge, you're using this knowledge in real time. That is where the negotiation conflict brain stops being a liability and becomes the sharpest tool in the room. Frequently asked questions. What happens to the brain during negotiation conflict? During negotiation conflict, the brain triggers a threat response centered in the amygdala. This floods the body with cortisol and adrenaline, narrows thinking to survival mode, and reduces access to the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain responsible for clear reasoning and empathy. How does the negotiation conflict brain response affect decision making? When your brain is in threat mode during conflict, your decision making becomes reactive and narrow. You default to defending your position rather than exploring solutions. The capacity for nuanced thinking, long-term perspective, and creative problem-solving drops sharply until the threat response is calmed. Can you control your brain during negotiation conflict? You cannot stop the initial threat response, but you can shorten it. Slow breathing, deliberate pausing before responding, and physically grounding yourself all signal safety to the brain. With practice, you can reduce recovery time from minutes to seconds and stay sharper throughout. Why do people say things they regret during conflict negotiation? Regrettable words during conflict come from the amygdala, overriding the rational brain. When the threat response fires, impulse control weakens and emotional reactions speak first. The prefrontal cortex, which filters and moderates speech, is temporarily sidelined, which is why calm post-conflict you would have said it very differently. How does knowing about the brain help you negotiate better? When you understand the neurological mechanics of conflict, you stop treating your reactions as character flaws and start treating them as physiology to manage. That shift lets you prepare reset strategies in advance, recognize when the other party is hijacked, and respond to their state rather than just their words. What is the amygdala hijack in negotiation conflict? The amygdala hijack occurs when perceived threat triggers an automatic fear response that bypasses rational thought. In negotiation conflict, this can happen when someone challenges your credibility, dismisses your offer, or raises their voice. The result is a reactive, emotionally driven response rather than a considered one. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.